Our God is worthy of our praise.
Pastor.
Rona.
Okay, tonight we're in Revelation chapter 1, of course, and we'll be looking to verses 7 and 8. I doubt if we'll get done with what we want to say about these two verses, but we'll read them first. So Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. If you were making an outline of chapter 1, what do you think you would call verses 1 through 6? I know that's a really weird question. You could come up with all kinds of answers. I was hoping somebody would. How about introduction? The first.
It's about who the book is about, Jesus Christ.
Okay. Those six verses serve as the introduction. Virtually every New Testament book has what we would look, what we would call an introduction. And so, introducing first of all the topic of the entire book, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him, who the author is, who he's writing to. And those are all basic things that are included in an introduction to a Bible, to a book. Now, the reason why I ask that question and the reason why I point that out is because now the introduction is over. We're going into the major part of the book. And notice the first thing that it talks about. What is verse 7 talking about? Yeah, that's pretty clear there. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And we call that the... Is everybody awake tonight? What do we call the Lord's coming in clouds? Oh, thank you. It's the rapture. Okay, great. We're clicked in now, I think. Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make. Before delving into the bulk of the material of the book, which speaks of, now here's what the book of Revelation speaks of. It speaks of the details of apostasy. It speaks of economic collapse, natural disasters, political intrigue, the ultimate war of human history, final judgment, and eternal torment. And so before delving into the details of all of these dreadful things, we have a preview of a later theme of hope and joy, and the end of sin, the end of suffering, sorrow, and death, and eternal bliss. And how is that introduced? By speaking of his second coming. And I do not believe that's any coincidence that the book really, after the introduction, the book starts out with Christ being exalted. And we've already talked about that to some degree. But this verse really begins to exalt the person and work of Christ, which, of course, we see also later on in the book. So, if you're using the outline, number one, we're looking at the fact predicted in the first part of verse 7. And A is its notification. It uses the word behold. In the King James, the word behold is used 25 times in the book of Revelation. And it is a word that is intended to get our attention, and it is intended to arouse not only our minds, but our hearts. I think of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That word behold is a word that is intended to get our attention. It's not just look at, but it's more than that. And behold what? He cometh with clouds. Just a very simple statement there. Just four words. But is what's that called? That's called the believer's thank you, Tom. The believer's hope. The blessed hope. And so, the word cometh. Now get this. Literally, that would be translated is coming. What do you see as the significance of that? Why would I bother to point that out? Behold, he cometh gives one thought in our minds, but behold, he is coming gives a little bit different shade of meaning there. You see what I'm aiming for there?
Sounds like it's true to me. It is coming. It's going to happen.
Not only is it going to happen, it's as if it is already happening. Do you see the difference? Behold, he cometh. That's future. Behold, he is coming. That's continuous action. Now, I don't want us to misunderstand and think that Christ has already started on his way. But as Tom said, it points out the certainty of the fact that it's so sure that it's just like he's already on the way. And so that's literally his coming. So certain it may be viewed as already occurring. And he's pictured then as being already on his way. The word coming appears 9 times in the book of Revelation with reference to the Lord's second coming. And the Lord himself referred to it 7 times. And get this, there are over 500 verses in the Bible that refer to the second coming of Christ. And approximately 1 out of every 25 verses in the New Testament speak of the Lord's second coming. What does that tell you? It's something that the Lord wants us to not only be aware of, but behold, he cometh. He wants us to anticipate it, to look forward to it. And why? Because it gives us hope even when times get difficult. Those four words could ring out in our minds. Behold, he cometh, or behold, he is coming. He is coming. It's certain. It will happen. So that's his notification. B is its necessity. Why is it so necessary? And this is kind of a sidetrack, but there are a number of reasons why it's necessary. And the first one, the obvious one, is that God promised it many times. And I already pointed that out. And the fact that Jesus spoke of it several times. Another reason why it is necessary is because of God's program for the church. God's program for the church requires it. The Bible makes it very clear that believers, New Testament believers, will be rescued from the tribulation at the time when Christ does come. So in order for God's program for the church to be completed, it's necessary that Christ would come back. A fourth reason why it's necessary is that Christ will rule the nations, and that's going to be a literal reign right here on earth. A fifth reason why it's necessary is because God's program for Israel is not yet complete. God is not dealing primarily with Israel now. He's primarily dealing with the Gentile nations, but there's a coming a time when God will once again turn his attention back to the book of to the nation of Israel. And that's not our subject tonight, but it's just one of the many reasons. And one final reason, there are more others, but one final reason to talk about tonight is that the judgment of Satan demands it for the Lord to come back. So it will happen. So number one, the fact predicted. Number two is the form portrayed. And A is the picture. He cometh with clouds. It's interesting that a number of times in the Bible, clouds symbolize God's presence. Let's consider a few times that clouds are used in reference with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or God the Father. Acts 1, 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing upward into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And what was that like manner? Cloud received him out of sight. And so here we come to the book of Revelation. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, what is that speaking about? What do we call that? What time in the future is that speaking about? Let's read it again. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Okay, that's the second coming, that's the second advent. It can't be the rapture, and somebody tell me why it can't be the rapture. We wouldn't be here, that's true. Look at the content of the verse. He does not come to earth in the rapture. That's good. Okay, well, we'll get into more of the answer later on. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth... Whoops, that's the one I just did. Daniel 7:13, I saw in the night visions... Well, I guess I didn't. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, back to that one. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man. Oh boy, that's the same verse twice. Let's see what we got here. First Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's speaking of the... Come on, everybody, say it. Thank you. So, two different comings of... Now, okay, maybe you're not familiar with this. The second coming of Christ is in two phases. According to Bible prophecy, the only thing, nothing needs to happen until the rapture comes. It could come right now. There's no other prophecy that needs to be fulfilled. Christ could come at any time. That's called the rapture, when Christ gathers together believers, dead and living. Then is the seven-year tribulation. After that, the Lord comes to the earth. That's called the second advent. The word advent just simply means coming. This time, he's coming in judgment. So it's two very different appearances of the Lord that we're reading about here. But I guess what I'm just pointing out here at this point is that clouds are indicated every time here. Also, Daniel 7:13, I saw in night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near him. And so time after time... associated with one member of the Trinity. Now, going back to the Old Testament, going back to the temple and the tabernacle, what do you remember about as far as clouds or a cloud?
When they would go into the temple once a year, filled with clouds.
And that cloud represented... Yes, you're absolutely right. It's called the Shekinah glory, but it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. So a cloud filled the Holy of Holies, indicating the symbolic presence of God right there in the Holy of Holies. And then how about Mount Sinai? Remember what happened there as the Lord appeared on Mount Sinai. Clouds, thunder, lightning, loud voice, voice of the trumpet. So clouds are frequently used to symbolize God's presence or in relationship to God's presence. So that was the picture. B is the publicity. Every eye shall see him. Now this is one of the ways we know that this is not the rapture, because the rapture is a secret catching away. 1 second we're here, this twinkling of an eye, we're gone. Nobody on earth sees that. All of a sudden, all these crazy Christians are gone. And chaos obviously takes place. But in this case, what we're reading about here, every eye shall see him. And so that characterizes the second coming. Now, how in the world is that going to happen? Who knows? With the technology we've got today, everybody in the whole world could be seeing it. I don't know if that's the way it'll happen or not, but the point of the Bible says that every eye will see him some way. So in the rapture, we meet him in the clouds. He comes as a thief in the night. So two very different appearances. Matthew 24, 26 through 27, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it or not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And I'm sure that every single one of us are really looking forward to that and even praying, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus, amen. So then we have Roman numeral 3, if you're using the outline, is the feeling produced in the last part of verse 7. And all kindreds of the earth, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So let's think about that. A is their identity. Two different groups of people. The first one is called they also which pierced him. Now, when you think of that, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? They also...
The cross.
Yeah, the cross, the Roman soldiers. Well, they've been gone for a long time. So it can't be talking about them. Anybody have an idea then who these people are? They also which pierced him. Yeah, I believe you're right. Or even just the Jewish nation, period. They're the ones that declared him guilty, and they're the ones. It wasn't just the Roman soldiers. So I believe it is a specific reference to unbelieving Jews, they also which pierced him. But then there's a second group here, and all the kindreds of the earth. So if they also which pierced him are unbelieving Jews, then who would all the kindreds of the earth be? Unbelieving Gentiles. Okay. The feeling produced is not joy. They wail when they see him, which tells me that they know what's happening, and they know what's on the horizon. They know what's about to happen. Otherwise, why would they wail? They wail in terror. Now, when we see him, it'll be just absolute bliss. Just exactly the opposite. And so B is its intensity. They shall wail because of him. And that word wail basically means mourn. So it will not be a mourning of repentance. Rather, it will be a mourning of terror over the reality of their doom. So you see here, in just a few brief moments, we're talking about two different events that are separated by 7 years. And this one that we're looking at specifically is the second coming. Okay, any comments, questions? Time's just about up. Anything? Okay. I have just a few prayer requests.